from back in the old country, back in Europe, that visited the, let's say he was from Vienna, and he visited a Jewish rabbi in the area there in what is called the Pale of Settlement. It was the Jewish territory in the strip of land in western Russia, where you would have Belarus today, we know as Belarus, Latvia, Lithuania, far eastern Poland. It was a strip of land running north and south where until actually just 100 years ago or so, Jews were allowed to live. That is, it was where they had to live. If you were Jewish in Eastern Europe, portrayed, for instance, in the musical or film Fiddler on the Roof, takes place in a Jewish settlement within that historical geographical setting. Anyway, I digress. A journalist visited a rabbi that lived in this area, perhaps to interview about the pogroms that had happened within the Pale of Settlement, and to get firsthand experience to write for a paper back west in some place like Vienna, for instance. And the journalist looked around the home of the rabbi and said, "Well, so why do you stay here? And where? And the rabbi's like, "Well, where are we going? You know, where else would we go?" Because there was not a lot of freedom of opportunity, for instance, in that area. And the journalist said, but you have so little in your home. You have, if this is where your family has lived for generations, you have so little in your home." The journalist said, "But why?" And the rabbi, in good rabbinic fashion, answers a question with a question. And the rabbi said, "Well, how about you? I see that you're traveling light. You don't have much stuff." And the journalist responded by saying, "But I'm just traveling through. I'm just passing through." And the rabbi said, "Ah, so am I." So am I. I'm just passing through. This may be my home, but I am just a migrant. With that, we can read our portion designated for this particular Sabbath from the reading of the Brit HaChadasha, the New Covenant Scriptures, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning with verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he migrated to a land of promise, as if it were foreign, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was waiting for the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive when she was barren and past the age, since she considered the one who had made the promise to be faithful. So from one, and him as good as dead, were fathered offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as uncountable as the sand on the seashore. These all died in faith without receiving the things promised, but they saw them and welcomed them from afar, and they confessed that they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 13. This passage describes the life and the experience of Abraham Avinu, our father Abraham. This chapter in Hebrews picks up on just a couple comments that were made in chapter 10 about a life of trust in the Lord. That is a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2 that says, "The righteous will live by trust or faith." And then, having made this comment about how the righteous are to live, the rabbi breaks into this long, extended description of heroes, of those that trust God. It's not a new genre within Jewish literature. We have it in Scripture, in the Psalms, in 1 Maccabees, the old wise priest, Mattathias, Matthew, right on his deathbed, breaks into an extended list of people that his son should emulate because they lived a life of trust. I've actually preached from that passage in Maccabees in the past. As well as in the book of Ben Sirach, in the book of the Wisdom of Solomon, there are other lists and descriptions of those that are faithful to God. Here in Hebrews 11 is yet another one of these people that should be admired, should be emulated, particularly their trust. We're told in verse 1 of Hebrews 11 that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The assurance of things hoped for when there is no evidence for these things at all. Let me start by saying, sharing what faith isn't. So often in today's culture, in certain circles, there's almost rises a faith that seems to be rooted in a proposition. That is, faith is described as something that I postulate. A proposition, something that I propose. It becomes faith rooted in a statement. These are often described are found in creedal forms. And I will grant you, even Judaism, by one of Judaism's most popular rabbis, in the Middle Ages, there was a statement of faith, a creed that was established, interestingly enough. So Jews are not immune to this possibility of creating faith statements. It's interesting, as I was looking at our website, Baruch Haba, that it's like, you know, we don't have a statement of faith on our website. If you explore a lot of Jewish synagogues, Messianic and otherwise, you'll note that there is no statement of faith. In Judaism, the statement of faith we recited earlier, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. That, given by Moses, is our statement of trust, our statement of loyalty. When we say, the Lord is our God, it is not a statement of monotheism. It's a statement about our connection, our link, our loyalty to the Most High, that we have an exclusive relationship with Him. Nothing else interferes in our exclusive relationship. He has the right to be our God. Nothing else should infringe on that. There's also a tendency, besides a propositional statement of these are things I believe, thus I have faith. There's also the idea that faith is something we possess. We possess it as if I possess a shirt and tie. It's something that I retain, something that I can hold in my hand. And I've often pointed out in the book of John, for instance, John is loaded with discussions about trusting God and faith. But did you know that in the book of John, not once is faith ever a noun? It is always a verb. Faith is not something you have. It's something you do. It's something you walk out. It's not that you receive faith as in something tangible. We receive faith by choosing a way of life. It's something that we walk every day. In Jewish tradition, that's called halakha. It's how we walk. It's how we live. It's how we move through our daily experience. Trusting God. In other places, it seems that there's an emphasis that almost becomes faith in faith instead of a trust in the Most High. Faith, to say it another way, is what is emphasized over and over and over in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, with all your heart, and don't rely on your own individuality, your own resources, your own intelligence. Don't rely on your own understanding, but know God. One translation says, acknowledge God. The verb there is literally the verb to know. Know God in all your ways, and He'll direct you as you trust Him. To have faith means that we have a trusting relationship with the Lord. If you cannot fully trust God in your daily journey, it is not what this passage is speaking of as faith. You you aren't possessing faith because you aren't walking in a trust relationship with God. And so Abraham is set up as the ultimate example in the New Covenant Scriptures as someone who trusted God. Actually, here in the book of Hebrews, there have been two people that have been highlighted, no, three, that have been highlighted before him. Adam's son, Abel, the character named Enoch, and the boat builder, Noah, had also been commended for their trust in God. We're told that Abraham exhibited his assurance in God, his trust in God, because he went when God called him. It refers back to Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 13 and chapter 14. When God called Abraham, he simply got up and went. Genesis chapter 12 says, "And the Lord called to Abraham, and he said, 'Leave your land, the land of your birth, leave your father's house, and go to a land I will show you.'" And in verse 4, it simply says that Abraham got up and did so. Abraham didn't even ask a question. I'd have like a list of questions. How will I know the way? Where am I going? What will my resources be? This is why Abraham is lifted up as such an amazing example. Did you know that Abraham went before God even gave him any promise? It was only after Abraham arrived in the land that God said, "To you and your offspring will I give this land." Abraham didn't even know that going into it. Abraham had no promises before he left. He trusted without any assurance. Was simply demonstrating his trust in God. Trust is the assurance of things hoped for, even when you can't see any evidence of it. It's interesting that in the Septuagint, which is the ancient Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, it was translated 150 years before Yeshua was born. The Tanakh was translated into Greek. In Genesis chapter 14, where it says that Abraham was a Hebrew, by the way, Hebrew scholars, what does the word Hebrew mean?
Over there. Is it crossover?
There you go. The one from over there, the one that crosses over. Yeah, it's from the verb avar that means to pass, to cross over. Abraham was the one who crossed over from over there, as you kind of comically point. I like that. That's funny. The Septuagint calls Abraham, translates the idea of Hebrew, since that's a Jewish concept and not a Greek concept. It translates Hebrew as migrant. Abraham the migrant, which was exactly what you guys said, the one from over there, the one that has migrated, the migrant. Abraham continued, not only when he entered the land was he a migrant, but he continued to be a migrant. Our passage in Hebrews said that he lived in the land of promise as if it were foreign, as if it were a foreign country. Did you know that though Abraham was promised the land, when he got there, he never owned a place to live? He never possessed a title deed to a piece of property. He did finally buy a piece of property toward the end of his life, but that was simply a cave to bury his wife. The only thing that he ever owned was the place he would be buried. It's not much to show for years of a life. He not only was a migrant when he came into the land, he lived a migrant lifestyle. Thus my story at the beginning. When the rabbi asked the journalist, well, you're traveling light. You don't have very much. And the journalist said, I'm just passing through. And the rabbi says, so am I. That is an Abraham trust. I may have lived here all my life, but I'm just passing through. On one level, it's we're actually commanded to build roots in our life. The Torah says, build a house. The Torah says, plant fields. The prophets even talk about inheriting houses and fields that you didn't even plant or build. Somebody else, you've acquired them from someone else. The prophets even told Israel that when they go into exile, they are to live there, establish lives, build a business. In Jewish tradition, one of the most important things that we do in life is establish a livelihood for ourselves. But we as we go, as we walk, as we journey, we must remember that we're a migrant. We must remember that we've come from over there and we don't have everything yet that God has promised. You see, trust recognizes that not only are we on a continuous journey, it also recognizes that we don't have all the resources that we need. And that's the part that I go, ugh. That's the hard part. I don't have all the resources that I need, so I need to depend on the Most High. I need to trust in the Lord. It also means that I have to sharpen my hope. Faith is the substance, the assurance of things hoped for. Rabbi Paul boiled the qualities of life down to three things. Faith, hope, and love. He did, in good Jewish fashion, end up saying one was more weighty than the other two, but still, he boiled things down to three, hope being one of them. In that same book, Rabbi Paul said that if you only have hope for this life, man, that's a miserable life. We must sharpen our hope in this life. We must walk in trust. Trust and hope go together. Hope is not something that is wishful. It's not something that, you know, I hope I pass this class. I hope that my kids will be healthy. It's not wishful. It's rather an assurance that God has walked with me this far because, as you said, we've come from over there. And now I'm here. And God has walked with me this far. And I have the hope, let me put it this way, I have the confidence that God will continue to supply what I need. Though I continue to have a migrant lifestyle, though my heart continues to trust in the Lord, though I live as if I'm a stranger and an alien, though I have built businesses and established vineyards and established a home, I still live as a stranger and an alien, but I continue to walk with confidence and hope with a trusting heart in the Most High. Why can we do that? How can we do that? In those verses from Hebrews that I read, the word promise is used 4 times. In those 6 verses, the word promise was repeated over and over. Abraham walked through the land of promise. His sons, Isaac and his grandson Jacob, were heirs of the same promise. But they died not fully having received the promise. We are sustained by God's promise. But let me warn you, we're not always going to see everything that God has promised. This is part, another aspect of the trust, faith picture. God gives us promises. God told Abraham when he arrived, to your offspring I will give this land. But as I said, Abraham never owned anything more than a place to be buried. But yet, and even, but although Abraham received that promise, he continued to walk on. Though he didn't see the fulfillment of everything that God had told him would happen. In some ways, we're still waiting for the fulfillment of the promises that God gave to Abraham. In some ways, they've never been fulfilled. We're still waiting for the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to fully possess the lands that God promised. We're still waiting for the restoration of Israel that God promised all the way back to Abraham when he said, you will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're still waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. But we push on. We don't stop. We don't cower in fear. We keep building. We keep walking. We keep trusting. Abraham's life integrated all these things together. He was willing to go before he ever received any promise. He walked with an expectation that God would do what God had said. Abraham had confidence and hope. I'll give you a land. I'll give you a child. And though Abraham died without, well, he got the son. Well, and God tested that one, by the way. Will you trust me enough to give back what I've given you, God told Abraham. But Abraham's walk integrated all these things, this trust, this hope, this assurance of God's promise. It was something he lived out, not just something he had. Again, faith must be something more than a possession. It must be something that is buried deep within our relationship with God. In fact, I believe it is the definition of our relationship with God. Will you trust me or not? That's what it means to be in relationship with God. And it wasn't just something that Abraham said. It wasn't a creedal statement. It wasn't a propositional statement. It was something he lived. That's the kind of life that we must have. That is the kind of trust that God requires from us. Will we allow God to lead us? Though we don't know how he will fulfill his promises, though we never see the fulfillment of the promise. Luckily, God has a multi-generational view. We're very individualistic. Luckily, God takes the long view. But will we walk in our life, will we walk in light of the good things God has told us? Don't allow fear to cripple you. Don't allow doubt to choke out God's promise, his voice. Move forward. Step forward. God said, Abraham, go to a land I will show you, and I will be with you.